my prayer was, Father, I want to see what you're doing so I can do it. Father, I want to hear what you're saying so I can say it. We were laying down there earlier. He said, look, I want you to see what I'm doing. He said he was stripping away his bride. He's stripping us away. He's removing every weight that hinders. You see, he's doing what's called reformation. He's reforming our minds. Repentance literally means to change the way we think. To change the way we think. We use it, you know, we've heard it, repentance means, some people think it means to say I'm sorry. It's the furthest thing from what repentance is. You're not sorry. You're not sorry. Sorry means I'm low down piece of junk. You're not sorry. And usually that's just a term we throw out anyway. My kids tell me I'm sorry or tell each other sorry, I roll my eyes. Sorry. Sorry. Whatever. But to repent means that we change the way we think. And see, the Word of God tells us to renew our minds daily. And to forgive means we wipe it clean. And it hinders us no more. And you see, we're in a process right now of Him literally stripping away everything that hinders. And it doesn't feel good. And He's doing it in me, and He's doing it in Josh, and He's doing it in Tony, and He's doing it in Doyle, and He's doing it in Sean, and He's doing it in all of us right now. He's doing it in from one end of the body of Christ to the other. He's stripping away and stripping away and stripping away and exposing and exposing and exposing. But what He's doing is restoring our identity in Him. Because we don't know who we are. And I get frustrated sometimes. Oh, Lord, I was like, I feel like I preach on the same thing all the time. Identity. When are we going to get it? Father, why do we have to keep talking about identity? Because we've not yet learned how to do the very milk of the Word, and that is to repent and forgive. So we don't know who we are. And we don't know how to walk in freedom. And I don't care what label you try to wear. I don't care who you are. Every person in this room has the same stinking issue. It's we don't really, really know Jesus. Because if we knew Him like He knows us, then we would see in a mirror His face, His eyes, flaming, burning with fire and desire for us. And the blue flaming fire of His eyes would awaken something on the inside of us that would cause us to cry out in true repentance, fully changing the way we think and knowing who we are, because we get a revelation of who He is. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to shift out of identity crisis and really walk in who I am in Him. I'm telling you, the past year has been tremendous stripping and shaking and changing. I probably haven't been here in a year. You guys probably, if you saw me in the spirit, you wouldn't even recognize me. Because my guts are different. I started planting the ministry. I moved to another city and I started planting the ministry and God started killing me. The reality of it is, though, it's not about our ministries. It's not about our titles. It's not about our careers or our jobs or our relationships. It's not about any of that. It's about Jesus. It's still really about Jesus. It really, really is still about Jesus. It really is still about Jesus. And we, majority of us, don't really know Jesus. Am I questioning your salvation? No, I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm questioning your knowledge of the Beloved. I'm questioning, do you know the Beloved? Do you know what His eyes look like in flaming fire, burning desire for you? Do you understand the reality of why the cross? Because I want to tell you something. The fivefold ministry is awesome. The worship is awesome. The prayer is awesome. But until we get a revelation of that is not our identity, then we are no further along in this thing than we were when we started it. In the book of Hebrews, the writer calls the milk of the word healing the sick, raising the dead, and cleansing the leper. But we still haven't got past identity. How many of you want to get past identity? How do we get past identity? Exactly what we've been doing. Stripping away. I like it. 90 days. But I got news for you. It ain't going to stop there. Sorry. It's not going to stop there. Because if you're really going to go after Him for the rest of your life, He's going to be stripping away. And bringing you to a deeper revelation of who you are in Him. And He's going to remove, if you pursue Him. If you don't pursue Him, you don't have to worry about it. You're good. Don't worry about it. If you're not going to pursue Him, you can stay in your mess and wallow in it. Woe is me. Manipulate, control, whatever, whatever. You can do all that. But if you're going to run after Him, if you're going to chase after Him, the rest of your life, He's going to be bringing you to a full knowledge of who you are in Him. So no condemnation in that. But there is a revelation in that. We need to understand what we've signed up for. We have signed up to rule and reign with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for all of eternity. And He is returning for a bride without spot and blemish. So therefore, He's going to spend this time on this earth preparing His bride to reign with Him for all of eternity. And He's not going to reign and rule with a bride who was woe is me, manipulating sexual immorality, throwing her body everywhere. He's not reigning with her. He did not give His life for a whore. I'm sorry. I'm just going to be real with us tonight because that is what we have become. I'm telling you, He gave His life so that He could rule and reign intimately with His bride who is without spot or blemish. So you have got this window of time in this earth to get on your face, repent, and be stripped away so that for eternity you can reign with Him. This is our occupation. This is our position in the earth, is to get pure and holy. Sorry, it's not really that exciting if you didn't know that you were just here to pursue Him. I really want to smash some idols tonight. Like, I really, really want to go after idols. Because here's why. It's not about me, and it's not about you, but it is time. It is time, it is time, it is time. I really honestly feel like there's a demarcation point right here, right now. 40 years is up. Wilderness is over. It's time to cross over. And if you ain't with the program, you're dying in the wilderness. I am sorry. God began to speak this thing to me years ago, and I wept and I cried my guts out for I don't know how long, because he told me, he said, I am coming to a point in time where I am going to cause my people to cross over, an entire generation is going to die. I cried my eyeballs out. I wept, and I mean literally to the point of vomit because of the reality of what I saw in the spirit. I cry, God, no, I do not want you to leave a generation. Lord, please, please, let's bring the whole generation with us, Lord. Don't do that again. I believe that is the true call of a prophet. I was not jumping for joy and excited. But we are reaching that point right now. That is why we've started our meetings on our faces, allowing him to strip us away. And I hate the reality of it is, I'm just really going to be honest, not everybody in this room allowed him to strip them. A lot of people is what I was sensing in the spirit realm. A lot of people were hearing words of knowledge. Some of you were running and hiding. Some of you were wallowing. And a very few of you were repenting and forgiving. Because we have a sense of entitlement and we want to hang on to our pet demons. Our ministry right now, our whole leadership is going through SOZO. Have you ever heard of SOZO? The whole leadership. Everybody. We are going through fire. I want us clean. I want us checked. I want us right. I want us to know what our issues are. I want us repenting. I want us free. From me to my husband and everybody. Because I want a solid foundation, because God has told me to build a container. He promised me he would fill it. He promised me that he would fill the containers in which I am building, and I want them to be pure and holy because he wants them to be pure and holy. Search me, O Lord, and know me, and find if there is any wicked way in me. That is the cry of our hearts. I am determined to have a solid foundation for what God is calling us to do. I am determined. And I'm doing something else. By the word of the Lord that nobody is liking, and they're not going to like it unless they're pursuing Jesus. But if you're walking through our doors right now and you're signing on the dotted line to be a part of Frontline Ministries, Burning Ones Pioneer School, and you are single, you are signing on the dotted line that you will not even consider dating for 6 months to a year. Why? Because it's his face that we seek. We do not come in to this building looking for brides and grooms. That's the bridegroom. We are the bride. I have had way too many issues with singles idolizing other singles who have the Spirit of God on them. If Jesus is going to give you your husband or give you your wife, why can't you wait? Why every church, every meeting that you walk in, are you looking for your spouse, future spouse? He's your spouse. He is your spouse. I have had more issues with that I just won't even go there right now. Get your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus. Quit looking at every, trying to figure out who on the worship team's single. I'm telling you, it looks like Holy Ghost, ADD, and Tourette's. Is that my husband? Is that my husband? Look at Jesus. That's what I'm saying. Stop. Look at Jesus. Don't be looking at my sons. Don't be looking at my daughters. Look at Jesus. Because I want to tell you something, single people. If you are running after Jesus, and you are running after Jesus, and that person that God is going to call you to marry is running after Jesus, you are going to be so focused on him that all of a sudden you're going to be like, hey, he was there all the time. Because you're just going to run into each other. Because not until it's time are you sure your focus is never going to get off Jesus. I've got news for you. I'm sorry I didn't want to go into this. But I've got news for you. When you get married, it doesn't all get okay. I do is just the beginning. There's a whole nother wilderness and dying process after that. So just look at Jesus. And if you think you're going to marry somebody that because you both have some awesome ministry call in your life and it's all going to be wonderful and you're going to fly and you're going to just go, I've got news for you. You're going to die. I do is a death sentence. I love my husband. Damon, I love you. He's laughing. He's shaking his head. If he's watching the live stream right now, I know he is. And he's shaking his head and he's like, shut up, Tammy. But he knows it's true. You think you're going to marry some fireball that wants to take the world for Jesus and you're so excited about it, you're going to wake up one morning and be like, would you please calm down and shut up? I'm telling you, we have to know our identity. We have to know our identity. Our identity is not in any of these things. When you get married, before you get married, after you get married, during you get married, it doesn't matter. You are going to have to identify yourself as sons and brides forever and all of eternity. It will not change until you get that. You are going to keep running into brick walls and banging your head until it bleeds. So we're going to get off all of our issues. We're going to forgive. We're not going to keep riding this roller coaster over and over again. We're not going to come into worship meetings and services waiting on somebody to rah-rah and yah-yah us up. When you walk in the door, you should be so extremely on fire and bursting with glory because you've been in your prayer closet that it doesn't matter who else in the room is doing anything, that all you do is walk in the door and fall on your face. Because you walked into a gathering of the saints who were on fire and the fire increased. We just went through a season of moving. When we moved, we were in a building and then we went to a barn. And there was like four of us most of the time. In 100-degree heat in South Carolina. With a microphone that should have been on a karaoke machine. With dogs running through the barn while we were worshiping. We were excited when seven people came. And then they got freaked out because we were already on our faces screaming in a barn. And we were back down to four. God was killing me. I didn't know what to do. I've been traveling around with 24 hours of prayer and worship and amazing anointed worship leaders that just could go into the prophetic anointing and I could jump in there and I could jump out and I could flow around and then all of a sudden I'm sitting in a barn with me and dogs. And I'm saying, Dole Bradford, I'm going to kill you. I had people come and visit that wanted to start communes and come live with us on the farm property. They thought we were those people. God has been trying to kill me. My husband is like, what have you gotten us into? I'm like, I don't know. Can we go back to Greenwood? Can I just go travel, please, Jesus? I don't like this. It's not fun. Then I've got 10 different people calling me and telling me 10 different ways to do it. And do you know what Holy Spirit spoke to me? It was on my face at a Damon Thompson meeting. He said, "Tammy, the blueprint is my face. Give them my face. That's the blueprint. It's my face. Forget the platforms. Forget the microphones. Forget the titles. Forget all of that. The blueprint is my face. Don't put another person on a platform. Give them my face." Glory. I finally started enjoying the wilderness for about 2 weeks until the next wave hit. I'm just being real with you guys. It's time. It's time. We're getting stripped away. He's killing the idols in our lives. He is removing the idolatry from our lives. He's removing the things that hinder. The things we didn't even know were there and the things we didn't know exist. Because he is returning for a bride without spot or blemish, and he is going to release one of the greatest outpourings the world has ever seen. But things will shake first. They are shaking, but this is only the beginning of the shaking. He starts with his people first. Seems like we've been saying that forever, but the reality of it is we started building our own towers of Babel. We started building our own towers. We came into unity in the wrong ways, and now we're seeing God begin to scatter our languages. He is dividing and conquering and stripping and ripping and exposing. Because he loves us. That's why. Because he's got something greater for us. We've settled for so much crap. I don't even know if I've started my message. Makes it kind of hard when we all come in and get wrecked on our faces and he just starts stripping us. What do you do after that? Were you able to pull up that picture? Can you put that up there? That's a pretty cool tattoo. It says "Send me" on the heels, on the feet. I want you to look at that while I talk to you for a little while. I thought it was really cool. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to be real. Like, I've been contending for a tattoo. I've been married for over 13 years, and my husband looks at me and year after year says, "Grow up." You are not putting a tattoo on your body, but I like them. I like this tattoo. That's the one he did tell me. He said, "If you're gonna get one, you can get that one." I'm gonna tell y'all all my secrets. Like, deep on the inside, I'm like just really radical, and I really want it to be radical on the outside, but my husband don't want me to look that radical. Tattoos and piercings. And can y'all see me coming here like that? But I really, honestly, like that. That's a really cool tattoo. So I want you to look at the cool tattoo for just a little while. And I want you to think about the word "send me." And I want you to think about the songs that we were singing and what we were crying out to earlier. I love that song. I love that song. I love, I love the Circuit Riders and Lindy Conant. And I love Bethel, I love this passionate worship. I love the way that it stirs me up. I love the way that it gives me revelation. I love the way it hits me in my heart and makes me begin to cry out for more. And I got wrecked in April of last year when I helped immobilize for Azusa Now and was kind of helping running with that crew just a little bit. And I was up in L.A. and we finally got to the call after mobilizing and doing all that stuff. And they began to go into just a time of worship and crying out for the nations. And I'm telling you, like, the whole thing was good. But for me, the Lord wrecked me with the nations whenever I was at Azusa Now. He wrecked me to the point like I could not breathe. And whenever Lou Engle's daughter got up there and she started crying out and she had just returned off the mission field, you could feel it in her soul, in her guts, the burden for the nations. And it's like my whole DNA started to vibrate. I started to realize the reality of the call on my life. I started to realize the reality of His heart for every nation, every tribe, and every language. I was the kid in church. I grew up Methodist. I was the kid in church when missionaries would come that I would go, are they going to show another slideshow? Mama. I was that kid. And so when God started wrecking me for the nations, and this didn't just start then, but when God started giving me the reality of His heart for the nations, I didn't really realize that that was in me. But every fiber of my being wants to see now, because I've begun to get the revelation. I want to see masses and masses and masses of people wrecked by His presence on fire. I'm not talking about little altar calls. I'm not talking about everybody repeating after me. I'm talking about weeping, wailing, crying, gut-wrenching people all over the earth with their guts hanging out, encountering God and never being the same again. And if I don't get that, I don't want it. Have I shared with y'all the encounter I had, the Isaiah 6 encounter? Okay, good. Because I didn't want to share it again if I did. But I kept feeling it stirring me. But, okay, so I want to share with you what the Lord did to me about a year and a half ago. I could not talk about this for 3 months. I could not literally speak for 3 hours after this happened. I could not breathe, could not speak. I looked like I had seen a ghost and I did not know that I was going to come out alive. The Lord encountered me one day when I was getting ready to go minister somewhere. I got out of my shower and the Lord whopped me. He walked in the room. The Father. There is a difference between encountering Yahweh and encountering Jesus, encountering Holy Spirit. I'm talking about God was in the room and I could not breathe. I'm talking about the fear of the Lord came in the room to the point that I could not breathe. I could not talk. All I could do was go, ugh. That might sound funny to you, and it sounded really funny to Crystal in the next room, and I have not yet heard the end of it. But that is all that would come out of me. And my being was saying, I am just a human being. Oh, God. All that would come out of my being, I couldn't speak, I couldn't talk, was literally, I am just a human being. I am just a human being. It would be very similar to what Isaiah said was, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, amongst the people of unclean lips. I never really got that completely until this happened to me. Every fiber of my being was vibrating. I did not know if I was going to live through this. And I did not care. He could have killed me right there and I would have been okay. I realized in an instant how much of a human being I was. How much of God I am not. I realized in an instant when God began to really speak to me, when He began to speak to me, that I was very, very unclean. I was very vulnerable. I was very, very raw. And I was amongst the people that were very, very much the same. And in this encounter, there are things that he said to me that I will not share with you. But he also began to unfold to me what he had called me to, what he had created me for. And everything I could say was, God, I'm going to screw this up. You know I'm going to mess this up. That's all I could say. God, you know I'm going to mess this up. God, I'm just human. I'm just me. You know me. You know me. You know I'm going to mess this up. And he kept saying it over me and saying it over me and saying it over me. And I was literally in a ball in the floor, And he was saying, look at me. And I would say, I can't look at you. I cannot tell you how long this happened. I don't know how long I was in there. Time left. Time did not exist anymore. In this encounter with God, my blood vessels in my face busted. I could not see out of my eye. I had a spot in my eye for 3 months. And out of this encounter, after I don't know how long of basically telling him, don't give me what you want to give me because I am going to screw it up. He says to me, I know. That's what he said to me. And then my response was, here am I, send me. I won't even tell you what he said to me. I am not telling you what he said to me. I can't hardly tell me what he said to me. But he's going to shake this earth. He's going to rattle it. He's going to shake it. And the stars will fall and his glory will cover the earth. But he is coming back for a bride without spot or blemish. And you sit here and you tell me, I want an encounter like that. Do you really? Do you really want an encounter like that? Because I thought I was living a holy life. I fast, I pray, I hunger, I thirst, I read the word, I cry out, I believe, I love, I go. And when he showed up, I was ruined. And I wasn't just flipping and flopping on the floor. I could not move under the weight of his glory. And I tell you this, he didn't give it to me, y'all. He didn't give it all to me. I would have died. My human body, my humanness could not handle his holiness. He's so holy. I get up out of this encounter, stumbling out of my bathroom. And my husband is sitting on the bed. This is, because usually Damon would have barged in and be like, what in the world's going on with you? The holiness was in the bedroom. The holiness was all over the house. I get out. I finally come out of the bathroom and he looks just like deer in headlights. And he's looking at me and I'm looking at him and I couldn't talk. All I could do was shake my head. The other morning, I woke up. With this image in my mind of these feet. And the Lord began to show me these feet. He said, do you really want that tattoo? That's what he says to me. God says, do you really want something? You don't answer. Because you don't know the answer. You want to answer it right. Because my dad was having a meeting with me as soon as my eyeballs opened. He said, you really want that tattoo? Then I began to see an image of these feet turned upside down and hanging on a cross. He said, what if it costs you your life? You still want it? Are you willing to give your life? I literally saw my dead body hanging upside down. And people walking by and seeing that those feet. This is what I'm seeing. And I couldn't answer him. I don't know. I don't even know what you're saying to me. I don't know. Are you telling me you don't want me to get a tattoo? Are you going to tell me if I get the tattoo it's going to be an indicator of something that's going to cause me to lose my life? Because I know things are going to shake. But when we were on the floor a while ago, I began to see everybody in this room enlisting into an army and getting marked by Jesus. And I began to see a people rising up that are willing to die after they come up off their faces of reality of repentance, allowing the Father to encounter them to the point of death, and then rising up and being willing to be sent out and even being marked with a mark that would indicate the reality of what you're being sent for, that would cause someone like ISIS to take your life. You see, when Isaiah had his encounter, he got this reality. Isaiah did not receive a major, amazing message that was going to give him the next greatest ministry. Isaiah chapter 6, if you read the message that he was given, it's not, hey Isaiah, I'm going to send you out so you can encourage everybody. Hey Isaiah, guess what? You're going to be the next greatest prophet. Guess what, Isaiah? You're going to get to go tell everybody what they're going to do with their life for the rest of their life for me. That is not the message Isaiah received. How many of you know that the prophets lost their lives? How many of you know that the disciples lost their lives? How many of you know that the apostles lost their lives? Do you understand the reality of what you're asking for? Do you understand that what we're idling here in America is going to cost us our lives? Whether it's on the cross for him or not. I want you to understand something. When the skies shake, I'm telling you the word that he said, once again, I will shake the earth and the stars will fall and my glory will cover. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the seven stars that he holds in his hand and that they will fall. Those stars are the seven churches. And I want to tell you over and over, he talks about the shaking of the earth. And we're talking about Joel chapter 2, and we're sounding an alarm, and we're blowing a trumpet. I want you to understand, we've got to kill every idol. We've got to smash every idol. What if you were Josiah? What if you were in that time? What if you, for the first time in your life, you're responsible for an entire nation? You don't have any idea who God is. And then all of a sudden, 8 years into your reign, you begin to get the revelation that this book right here is why there's issues in your nation. And somebody uncovers it. The first time it ever falls into your hands and you begin to realize the idolatry, the sin, and the ugliness of your nation, what would you do? How would you read it? What would you do about what you read? Would you keep walking in what you're walking in, or would you be like Josiah? Would you demolish it all? What if it's the first time you ever touched it and you read it and you've been marked by him? Would you do something with it? It's real, guys. Hey, we're family, right? This is real stuff. It's no more game playing. We don't play games no more. As a matter of fact, our dad never played games. He didn't start playing games. We started playing the games. We started coming up with the networks. We started coming up with the good ministry plans. We started coming up with a good way to sell our books. We started writing stuff that made us popular. He was never in that. This isn't a popularity contest. Because if you encountered his face like I encountered his face, you'd realize real quick, I don't care who you are. You are totally, completely a human being. You're just little old you. I'm just little old me. But at the same time, the God of all creation wants to use you to shake and rattle the earth. At the same time, the God of all creation wants to release his power and his glory and his beauty through you to cause mass salvation and hunger and beauty and longing. But it's got to come out of a pure heart and a pure vessel that is willing to be emptied and torn and ripped of everything that hinders, because it's not about you. I don't know about you, but I've been reading this thing right here, and I ain't found nobody in here that won a popularity contest. I ain't found nobody. I can't find anybody in here that's an apostle. That's sitting up on platforms and podiums. I can't find nobody in here that's a prophet that everybody loves. I can't find a pastor in here that has cool hair and comes in slick and sly. We've totally messed up the whole thing. We don't even know what a pastor is. Not many should be teachers. You're going to be held at a higher judgment. It's time for us to kill our idols. Man, I could tear it up. I could tear it all up right now. Can I tear it? It's only 7:51, man. We got time to rip it all to pieces. I texted Jeremiah a while ago. I said, man, they done made me go last. I was like, which idol should I smash? Can I smash them all? He's like, smash them all. Do you want me to tell you why I want to smash them all? Because I really, really want to see this outpouring. And I really, really love him. And I really want you to love him. And I really love you. I really do. Like, it's the hardest thing. I deliver messages like this as much as I love people. And I'm like learning right now that I deliver messages like this because I love people. I'm learning that. I'm just being real. Like, I'm really just a soft mama. I'm just a mama. And I love my kids. But I have to spank them. Sadly, I'm the mama that spanks them not quite hard enough. And then runs in there and is like, you know I love you. Let me hold you while you cry, because I just spanked you. But that's a good father. He's a good father. Because I want to tell you something. The encounter I had with him, he wasn't spanking me. Man, he was loving me. Oh, he was loving me. He wanted me to know who I am, and he wanted me to know who he was. He wants you to know who he is. He's holy. He's righteous. He's a God of glory. You see, it's his glory. Christ in us is the hope of glory. But it's his glory. It's not ours. But we are the joy that was set before him when he endured the cross. Where's joy? You know, it says the joy of the Lord be our strength, but we were his joy. Think about that. We were his joy. We were his joy. the reason he endured the cross. Can we think about for just a second what he endured? Can we understand that? We're about to walk into Passover. Passover starts tomorrow. Most people don't understand the prophetic fulfillment of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus during Passover. Totally awesome, prophetic. He became the Lamb. He was the Lamb. The Lamb was slain on Passover. The Lamb was resurrected. The very moment, man, it's very significant right now. Passover, you walk, when you go into Passover, there's a removing of the leaven. They search the house and they look for anything, any leaven. You see, it's so amazing to me that although we don't really observe the feast and things, I think like we should, but we're not legalistic or bound to it. But if we did, we would kind of go through these processes. But it's very interesting to me that he does it anyway. The timing of this is very, very prophetic. He's actually going in right now and he's removing leaven from us. And the reason that they did that, it was an example of removing the sin from their lives. So it's very interesting to me how he's doing this right now and the timing that he's doing this. He's not just doing it in this room. He's doing it everywhere. I don't know where I was. I got off on the leaven. He's delivering us from our addictions. He's stripping away our flesh and our props. I believe that's what's happened. I believe it happened tonight. I believe it's what started. I don't even remember where I was going with that earlier, but I do want to say this. I believe that he's calling us forward. He's calling us to the forefront. And he's pulling the true prophets out of the caves right now. And you are going to begin to see a stripping away, not just in your own life, but in the body of Christ itself. Everything that needs to be exposed will be exposed. And I say that with all love and mercy. I want to read something, if I can pull it back up. Jeremiah Johnson posted something on Facebook earlier in the week, and I don't really answer a whole lot of Facebook posts, but I just try to stay out of drama. But he posted this, and it really got me stirring. And I want to read to you what my response to his post about where the real prophet's at, because I got stirred. I said, they are not responding to 90% of Facebook posts. They're writing, praying, seeking, and crying out for the Father, for the truth to be shouted and the false to be dethroned. They are not asking for vengeance, but just the opposite. They're asking for mercy for their brethren and for the manifest glory of the Lord to come and replace the manufactured smoke and lights with the true glory of God. They're giving their lives in secret. But when they do take a platform, they're fasting and praying for only his words and the very tone of his voice to be released. They have awe and wonder and fear of the Lord, yet they are lovesick for more of him. They are in your meetings and concerts and events and so forth, weeping and interceding for the real manifest presence of God. They're on the altars wrecked, not by what's going on in the room, but by what the Father desires to be going on in the room. They know him and want to be known by him. They feel like the bride in the Song of Solomon who was beaten by the watchman when she went out searching frantically for her beloved and could not find him. They're searching for him and can't find him and even being beaten down for crying out for him. But the time is coming when they will be heard. not because of their eloquent words or because of charisma or some type of media source, sorry, but when they open their mouths, God's manifest will manifest himself and set the captives free from the false. They won't have to be in a pulpit, although some may be. They will be able to just show up in the room and everything will change because they've been with him. Where are the true prophets at? They are not climbing ladders. They are not clawing their way to the top. They are sitting at the table, feasting on the beloved. They're weeping and crying and not wanting to come out. Because they know that when they do, it could cost them their lives. And they know that the word that they have to deliver is going to cost others their lives. I want to release this, and I'm going to try to do it quickly because I feel like I've already preached 3 sermons. But this is the word of the Lord. This is what he's been reckoning me with. For right now, I want to read to you Song of Solomon chapter 6. And I want you to see the picture of the true bride. I want you to understand the reality of what's going on in the prophetic realm right now. I want you to see the restoration is going to come. But there's no such thing in this hour of prophets who are profiting. That's called Simon the Sorcerer. That's called sorcery. There is no such thing as apostles that are profiting. God wants to take care of us, yeah. But he's done with sorcery. These prophets are lovesick, hiding, running, looking for the presence of the bridegroom. I can't find nothing right now. I done got wrecked up here. Y'all just don't even know it. Song of Solomon chapter 6. Maybe it's 5. Let me go back to 5. It's 5, sorry. Song of Solomon 5. Torment of separation. I have come into my garden, my sister, my bride, and gathered my myrrh along with the balsam. I have eaten my honeycomb and my honey. I have drunk the wine and my milk. Eat, friends, drink, O lovers. I was asleep, but my heart was awake. A voice, my beloved, was knocking. Listen to me. There's people that have encountered him. You know what he looks like. You know what he feels like. You know what he sounds like. You know what intimacy is. You have gotten a revelation. You've been where he is. And I want to promise you, most of you, it's not been in a meeting somewhere. It's been somewhere in a deep, intimate place. Somewhere where you didn't want anybody to see. A voice. You've heard a voice. My beloved was knocking. Open to me. My sister, my bride, my love, my perfect one. For my head is drenched with dew. My locks with damp of the night. I've taken off my dress. How can I put it on again? I want to tell you something. We've got to begin to understand the reality of this scripture. This passage is a relationship back and forth between the bride and the bridegroom. She is saying, I have gotten vulnerable. I have been stripped. I have been naked. I have gotten, you have allowed you to see the inward parts of me. I have been so real before you. And I don't know how to survive in any other way. And now where are you? I've washed my feet. How can I get them dirty again? I don't know about you, but when I encountered Jesus, when I really encountered Jesus, I was wrecked and drunk and a mess. I'm not going into my whole testimony tonight, but I was dirty. And I didn't ever, ever want to lose what he gave me back. You didn't have to tell me to go put some clothes on and stop drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes. You didn't have to tell me to stop going to the bars. I was doggone lovesick, and I had gotten out of my junk, and I didn't ever want to get it on again. I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried, and then I met my beloved. My beloved extended his hand to me through the opening, and my feelings were aroused to him. I arose and opened to my beloved through the opening, through the lock. I want to tell you something. This is a picture of him in the garden and her trying to get to him in the garden. Because there's a gate and there's a lock and there's a door, and she's been stripped and she's vulnerable and she wants him so bad. She wants to get to him so bad. She's clean. She's finally ready. She's so ready. I'm going to go down. My hands are on the handles of the boat. Bowl. Verse 6, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved turned away and had gone. My heart went out to him as he spoke. She still hears him. Listen. She still hears his voice. My heart went out to him as he spoke. She's listening. She can't see him. Her ears are turned. Where are you? I have to be with you. I searched for him, but I did not find him. I called out to him, but he did not answer me. The watchmen who make their rounds in the city found me. They struck me. They wounded me. The guardsmen of the wall took away my shawl from me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, find my beloved. As to what will you tell him? For I am lovesick. I want to go back up and I want to read that again. My heart went out to him as he spoke. I searched for him and I did not find him. I called him, but he did not answer me. And the watchmen who make the rounds in the city struck me. The watchmen. Another version says the covering. Another version says the covering. The one that was supposed to cover me, exposed me, and beat me because I was looking for my beloved, because I was lovesick, because I had encountered him, and I knew what he looked like, and I knew what he felt like, and I knew his heart, and I touched him, and I've been exposed, and I just want to get to him. And the ones that were standing on the walls of the garden, that where he was, looked and they saw me, and they beat me, and they struck me because I was trying to get to him. There's been a lot of prophets hiding in caves, and they've been exposed, and they have been vulnerable, and they have been crying out, and they've been stripped, and they know what he looks like, and they know what he sounds like, and they know what he feels like. And then he has walked out, and now they're searching and they're looking. Where is he in this earth? Where can I find him? Is there anywhere and any people anywhere who know them? And then the very ones that were supposed to cover him, the watchmen on the walls, the intercessors, the fivefold ministry, the prophets, those who were supposed to protect and cover, are beating and whipping and stabbing and killing the prophets because they want them to shut their mouths. I am being real because I believe that we're sounding a trumpet this weekend. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I do not care what people think about me anymore. I do not care anymore. I am not on this earth to have the next greatest ministry. I am in this earth to sound an alarm. arm and see God pour out His Spirit on the people and for them to arise and make Him known in the earth. That's what I'm here for. I am here to be a daughter. I am not here. My identity is not a prophet, apostle, evangelist. That is not my identity. I am a daughter of the Most High King, and I will expose the truth, and I will tell you that my beloved longs to be with you, and there are people that God is getting ready to remove them, and they have beaten and struck and removed the lovesick. They struck me and they wounded me. The guardsmen on the walls took away my shawl. They exposed me. It's the only place I'm supposed to be exposed is to Him. But they exposed me. They took away my covering. They took away my shawl. Some of you, this might be too deep for you. I'm sorry. Get on your faces and get in your closet, and then you'll know what He looks like. You're not going to get that type of revelation in a meeting. You're not. It's not about meetings anymore. I got to tell you the truth. It never was. It's always been about the intimate secret place. It's always been about meeting with Him. It's always been about you're a daughter, you're a son, you're a bride. You're not a prophet, an evangelist, a teacher. That's the fivefold ministry gifts. That's not your identity. This is the gift. Just because I give my kid a fire hat don't mean he's a fireman. That's not my child's identity. My little girls love to play dress up. I love to see them play dress up. But I really don't want them to grow up to be cowboys or cowgirls. They get a little rough. I don't know why. Your identity is not your title. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your boyfriend. It's not your girlfriend. It's not your ministry. It's not your job. Your identity is your son. You're a daughter. And then eventually you're going to realize that son and daughter is not good enough, and you're going to be a bride. Because there's a progression of your identity. You go from I don't know who I am, and I'm a sorry, low-down piece of junk, and I'm a mess. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And then all of a sudden, you get a revelation because you start forgiving people, and you start being forgiven. And then all of a sudden, you know who your daddy is, and you don't expect your daddy on the earth to pay you all the dues that he paid you, or your mama, or your brother, or your sister, or that leader that beat you. All of a sudden, you start forgiving and repenting and getting stripped away, and you begin to realize, I'm a daughter. I'm a son. And you get that revelation, and then you start seeking Him in the secret place. Then you start taking land. Then you begin to know who you are. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you are so stinking lovesick that daughter and son ain't good enough anymore. You become a warrior bride, and you're willing to die. And you don't care what people think about you anymore because you're lovesick. You're not trying to be so nice. But you will be kind, and there's a difference. Just telling y'all what I'm learning. There's a difference. It's the goodness of the Lord that leads man to repentance. Be kind enough to tell the truth. To give us the opportunity to change our minds, the way we think about things, so that we can truly walk this thing out and not break rank. Be happy, not just pleased. It's a difference between your pleasure and your happiness. You reap what you sow. If you sow, you're going to be happy, and therefore you will reap pleasure. That's a whole other message. But kind. kindness causes you to repent, which causes you to change your mind, which causes you to forgive, which causes you to know who you are because you know who your dad is. And then all of a sudden, because you know who you are, you know who your dad is, you really don't care about all that other junk anymore. And now you begin to learn how to live the lifestyle of prayer and fasting, even if it's uncomfortable. And you can only do it for 5 minutes, you make yourself do it for 10. If you can only do it for 10, you make yourself do it for 20. And before you know it, you're wrecked in his presence. You can't even go nowhere, you can't walk into a church building no more because you don't feel him like you did. But you keep going. You keep going and you keep looking. And then before you know it, you become this lovesick bride that's just like, hey, I don't know where he is in here, but I am looking for him. He ain't in here. And you just, all of it under authority. But the reality of what I'm trying to tell you is when you're lovesick, you know who you are. You're not going to break rank. You're not going to try to fight for somebody's position because your identity is not in position. It's not your identity. Fivefold ministry is awesome. He gave it as gifts. Spiritual family is awesome. Mothers and fathers in faith. He gave that to us, but that's not our identity. I look at Dole and Tony as spiritual parents to me because they have the same DNA I do, and Dole kicks me in my tail and makes me go plant things in Clemson. But that's not where my identity is. He's my father. We got to get that revelation. He's my father. Don't you be finding your identity in no spiritual mom and dad. You better find your identity in him. I'm just people. Wait a minute. I'm telling you, I can smash them all right now. And I want to say this and balance it all out. I have great respect and honor. And we're supposed to respect and honor our leaders and one another. And we're supposed to be able to honor everybody. We're supposed to be able to be teachable and receive. And the apostolic ministry is very important. And the prophetic ministry is very important. All of these, this whole thing is very important to cause this thing to all click into place. But when we start worshiping it over him is when it all falls. If you need somebody to answer their phone to validate you, then you're not finding your identity as a son and daughter in him. But at the same time, if you call yourself a spiritual mother or father and you're not going to have relationship with the people that God is calling you to pour into, then you're not that. If you're going to call yourself a son or a daughter and you don't have relationship with that individual, then you're not that. None of this comes without relationship. All of this is about relationship, all of it. And I'm talking to you tonight like you're warriors and you're generals. That's what I'm talking to you about. Like, I'm talking to you tonight like you are, you're kings and priests, your sons and daughters. I'm talking to you like you're the bride. I'm talking to you tonight like you are called to shake and rattle this earth. I'm calling you up and calling you out and calling you to the forefront. I'm not coming in here to preach a good message. As a matter of fact, I've gotten to the place where I don't really care if I go anywhere. I like my little firehouse. But I love y'all too. But that's not where my identity is. That's what I'm trying to say. Here I am, send me wherever you want me to go. I'll wreck the world. But I don't want to wreck nothing unless it's him. I only want to do what I see my father do and say what I hear him say, or I don't want to get out of my bed in the morning. Because it better flow in every area of my life, with my kids, with my husband, with my spiritual kids, with my ministry, when I go to Walmart, when somebody cuts me off in traffic. Well, when somebody comes into my ministry and basically takes off with a couple $1,000, I want to do what he does. I want to say what he says. I'm just getting real with you guys. You don't have to try to force these things when you live with him. You really don't. I don't have to force it. I'm not telling you I'm perfect, okay? I have my days. I'm a mama of little kids and one that's trying to be a teenager. I'm real. Me and Damon, we are two really, really awesome leadership anointings. And sometimes that causes heads to butt. So I'm not telling you I'm perfect. I'm telling you what I want to see us do. Walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's just the beginning. It's not the end of it, because perfect love drives out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment. So there's this love and fear thing that go together. So the wisdom is the fear. But then when we get the wisdom and the fear of the Lord, we begin to realize the beautiful, perfect love that drives out violently all fear out of our life. And we can be who he's created us to be. So I want to invite us tonight to smash some idols. Let's be done with idolatry. Let's be done with it. And some people in this room, it may be a big deal. You may be like I was when I was 20 years old. You're going in and out of bars. You're sleeping with people. You're having all these issues, and you can't figure out how to break out of it. But some of you may be where I am last week and realizing that I need to deal with fear or anxiety of, you know what? Can you want me to be real with you? You know what I had to deal with? I get this like really crazy anxiety about what to deliver before I preach. And I thought it was a holy fear of the Lord. I thought it was really just a fear of the Lord. Because I would wrestle over what to preach. And the Lord dealt with me. He had me figure out that wasn't him, because I'm a daughter. All that wasn't him. And he took me back to a place whenever I was young. And I realized where that entered in. The fear of making a mistake. I was afraid of making a mistake. And he showed me who I needed to forgive. And as soon as I walked through that, I got free. Man, I was like, I ain't even wrestled over this stuff. You can ask my husband. He gets so aggravated with me because I'm like, I want 8 hours of private time all alone so I could be with Jesus. I can do exactly what he says. And that I should. But not like that. So I'm telling you what I'm dealing with, so you'll understand what there's all levels of it, okay? He wants us all free. No anxiety, no fear, know who you are. Then you can walk and you can release messages like what we've been doing this weekend and not really care about the backlash. Because your identity's not in fill in the blank. So right now, I want everybody just to close your eyes, and we're going to pray. And I want you to listen. I call this listening prayer. I want us to listen. A lot of times we do so much talking, we can't hear. Father, right now, everybody in this room, I want you to seal this word. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I command every spiritual hindrance to be held back by your mercy of every person in this room, regardless if they know you or they don't know you. If they've not yet gotten given their life to you, or they have been walking with you for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years even. I even hear that. Some of you have been walking with the Lord for 50 years. And Father, I just pray right now for your mercy over, even if these things have right or reign in their life right now, I pray right now that you would hold back every spirit of darkness and every demonic force that is trying to war with them and being able to meet with you. And so, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray that you get all over this room, that people will begin to hear your voice speaking to them what you are trying to free them from. Lord, I pray right now, every person in this room who needs someone, that there's somebody that they've got to forgive. I hate this keeps coming up over and over. He's not done with this work. What are you struggling with? There's a lot of words of knowledge given earlier. You're going to begin to hear something come in right now. It's just still small voice, not in all the thunder and loud and screaming. Still small voice right now, the Lord. What is he speaking to you? What do you need to deal with? And then now I want you to ask him what the source of that is. What happened? If it's anxiety, if it's fear, sexual immorality, if it's witchcraft, divination. I'm telling you, I'm hearing all this. What is the source of it? Forget no condemnation right now. Homosexuality, whatever it is, there's no condemnation right now because we're going to find the root of this and we're going to remove it. Tonight is the night. It's over. We're going forward. And I'm going to tell you this, it's okay to feel it. It's okay to feel that emotion that you actually need to. You need to feel it so you can really release it. A lot of us just push it back, the emotion, and walk through the process and feel it. I want to give you an opportunity to feel it. And as he begins to identify you, the person or thing, whatever harmed you and caused you to begin to respond in that way, even as far back as a little child, right now I want you to begin to see yourself there. And I want you to see Jesus there with you. He was there. And I want you to begin to see what he's doing right now. What is he doing there with you? I want you to look at the person that hurt you with Jesus there with you. And I want you to see them like he sees them. And speak to them, I forgive you. Right now. I forgive you. And I renounce sexuality issues right now in Jesus' name. I renounce it. I renounce abandonment issues. I renounce it. I forgive you for making me feel abandoned. I forgive you for this. I forgive you for that right now. Say it to that person. Because Jesus has given you the power to do that. Freely you receive, freely you give. He's given you the power. He's going to change the way you see that person. At some people, that person's dead. You're still going to forgive them. Because what they did to you didn't die. You took it with you. You let it keep living. Right now, forgive them. All right. Now I want you to look at that person that you was. And I want you to tell them, grow up. It's time to grow up. Right now. It's time to grow up, 8-year-old me. It's time to grow up, 12-year-old me. It's time to grow up, 21-year-old me. It's time to grow up, 1-year-old me. It's time to grow up. We're done with that. Let's go. We're going to run with Jesus. Right now, he's washing you clean. He's washing you clean. And I want to right now, I'm speaking this over you. I cut the soul ties right now in Jesus' name. Right now, all over the room, the Lord's cutting soul ties right now. I want you to say it right now. I command the soul tie to be broken now. Now, 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 all over the room. Now. I command all of you to come back to you and all of them to go back to them right now in Jesus' name. I break the power of witchcraft right now in Jesus' name in this room. Feel that release? Now, right now, whatever it is, I want you to listen to the Father tell you to what to replace that with. If it was abandonment, what is he telling you? What's the word? The word is truth. What's the opposite of abandonment? It's acceptance. I'm going to replace abandonment with acceptance. I'm going to replace rejection with acceptance. I'm going to, right now, whatever he says, evil spirits, right now. I believe somebody in this room is getting delivered from witchcraft. I'm just being real with you guys. Somebody in this room is getting delivered from witchcraft right now. Come on, you got to let that go. You don't want that. You want Holy Spirit. Come on, you're loved. Come on, that assignment's over. Right now, replace it with holy. Holy, holy. Receive the blood of Jesus. It covers all of that. Whoever drug you into that, forgive them and break free out of that. You're going forward. You're going forward. Come on, you're redeemed. You're redeemed. You're redeemed. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, right now. Thank you, Lord. The Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I just cover everybody in this room. I pray a prayer of protection and covering. And there's some of you that you just really just need to hold the hand of Jesus for the first time. You need to realize for the first time in your life that you're really about to just jump into a full-fledged relationship. There's some of you in this room that you have been actually fighting tooth and nail against him, and you just realized it. But you just took his hand. I am my beloved's and he is mine. You are his beloved. He just rescued you. He just rescued you. There are people in this room, you've been stuck in an 8-year-old mindset because of that situation, and he just rescued you. You've been stuck. I even hear like there's a 1-year-old situation when you are 1 year old. Whoa! He's rescuing you. He rescued you. He pulled you out. That's what salvation is. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray Matthew 3:11, baptize them in Holy Spirit and fire. Right now, let the fire fall. Repent ye therefore and be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. Whew, that's where Holy Spirit